Mr. Siddham had all the...
Well, I mean, not my part.
You could speak, you know.
Well, we could read it on further, too. I mentioned here before the brother that we could have long sermons today because we don't have any afternoon services. And people are not in such a hurry to go home. But then, when it's my turn to speak, the devil says you go real fast, so people are in a hurry to go home, and they're getting very nervous. I'm very restless, you know that. Some have long ways to go, and some don't have such a long way to go. But those who live around here, well, they have plans already for this afternoon that we're going to do such and such a thing. If you have long sermons, well, then they'll spoil their intentions. So, well, I have intentions too, you know, so that's the way it goes. And I another wish I could really be a speaker, a minister, but I am. It's the same thing every time. Come here as a poor believer, and that's all we all are. Just as poor believers, although we're ministers, supposed to be ministers and preachers, other work. But I have found out this, that it's hard. I used to be a better believer before I was preaching. I used to enjoy going to church before I was preaching, but when I started preaching, you know, I don't enjoy so much because the battle almost every time when you come behind the... Bobby, how do you find it, brother? Do you find it so much easier?
No.
I used to think that years ago that when a minister would get a call to go preach some words that, oh, they would get so, just start rejoicing right away. I have found out different. You know, I talked to a minister who passed away last fall, and I knew it already for some years it isn't so. But I kind of kiddingly told him that I suppose when you get a call to go preaching somewhere, you really get happy. Mrs. said that he lives with such a heavy heart. You know, you find this heaviness a lot more than you find it before. There's battles before, but like Arby said, I think he said, before he used to have 3 devils, but now there are 7. And the Bible speaks about the 7 devils. You know, there was a devil tried to enter into a human heart, or rather, into a house. It was cleansed. When he thought it was cleansed, so he couldn't enter in. But he came back with 7 more devils. And the state of this man was a lot worse than it was before. You know, there's a kind of a spiritual meaning there too. Once we have received the grace and the goodness of God, let's not let it go, but let's hang on to it. You know, Apostle Paul reminds us very seriously that once we have come in the kingdom of God and we have known the goodness of God, and we have really rejoiced and we won't know what is right, but if he purposely began to sin and go back into sin, he goes far as saying there's no more grace left. How much harder it is to come back. I know I was gone, and it's so much harder. It takes many, many years to come back into this fold because the pride gets so high. And the devil keeps saying that, oh, what are you going to do, shame yourself? Go back into this poor group, and they only think they're the only ones who are going to go to heaven? This is what he preached. I was looking around when I was in Toulouse. And I remember when my sister and some of those other her friends used to tell me that, well, how about taking us to church? I know I would get kind of peeved. I said, there are plenty of churches here in Toulouse. Why can't you go to those churches? I knew I was wrong. But you see how that pride comes there. I don't know if Wilmer has ever experienced that. Have you? I think we all have. Because once when you're astray or strayed away, you know, you kind of begin to look at the other churches and say, well, they're all good. And this is what it means, that lukewarmness. And in the Revelation, we find out when he wrote this one certain church, and he found that they're lukewarm in Finnish pensia, which means they're lukewarm. Lukewarm is a very dangerous thing. All of the devil seems to preach that it's better to be lukewarm than hot or cold, you know. This is the way the devil preaches. But when you're lukewarm, you prefer any church. Doesn't make any difference. Go to any church. And that's what we hear nowadays. They can have such good sermons, in the end they say, now go back to your church of your own choice. You know, I saw a kind of a cartoon a couple of years ago in Milwaukee. I was surprised that they would even put it in the paper, but it was a cartoon. And there were 2 men in hell. And the smoke was coming from the ground. And the devil was standing behind him with his fork and long ears like they always picture, but I don't think that's a true picture. But anyways, this one man was saying to his friend, and he said, when I was on earth, all my life, I went to church on my own choice, but I suppose it wasn't the right choice. This is what we have to be very careful of. It's better be the right choice. And the only right choice there is that God has chosen us. And we have to remember that he has chosen us. We did not choose God. We did not choose Jesus Christ. But like he said himself, I have chosen you. Now you did not choose me. I came down to earth to seek you and I hunted you. I went through over the mountains. I crossed the rivers. I crossed the lakes. I suffered. I went through heat and cold. I was looking for the lost sheep. I left this 99 behind, but that one sheep became black and he strayed away. But I loved that sheep so much. I came from heaven, yes, from my own palace. Because I cannot stand that anyone would go into eternal hell. I'm willing, I'm going to pay that price to get that sheep back. I'm sure when he went out that tree of Calvary that he saw each and every one of us who were black sheep before. But who he paid and he suffered. The ransom, he paid the full ransom. And went into debt that we don't have to go into eternal debt. He said, here's my blood I have shed upon you, even upon the whole world. Now believe and you shall be saved. I'm sure that he saw each and every one of us before his eyes, through whom I'm going to die. He said, now once you believe what I have done to you, the works that I have done, I have saved you. Now believe what I have done. Now the law, like Luther says, now we can look at the law and smile that somebody else has paid it. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we can look at the law and smile. But like Brother said, it's still left there as a conscience, in our conscience, as a guide. You know right away what is wrong and right once we are believers. Because the word of God says this way, I have called you not to follow sin, but my holiness. And we always had to keep our eyes of faith on the right hand side of God, where our righteousness sits. On the right hand side of God, whom the power has been given in heaven and earth. And no one else. And when doubting Thomas, when he saw Jesus, when he entered behind the locked doors, and it's the only place that Jesus comes in, it goes behind the locked doors. It's locked from the world. But it will be opened up once we become a believer. Once we are so, our heart gets in such a contrition shape that we can't do anything, becoming a complete bankrupt. And we begin to holler and yell for help. You know, he comes and carry us there behind that locked door. It's not locked for those who believe. But you know, this Doubting Thomas, I've been one of Doubting Thomas's. And I'm sure when I leave this church again and sometimes here too, I'm a Doubting Thomas. I begin to doubt. And it's one of the greatest sins here. We begin to doubt. And more we doubt, the more difficult the road gets. But if it would be so easy, if you only believe like a little child, you know, the pilgrimage would be so much easier. But you know, the Doubting Thomas, although when he saw Jesus enter through that door, and when he told this Thomas, now look at me. He knew what he had said. He said, now come and put your fingers in the place of the nail and your hand in my side. Do it now, Thomas. But what did Thomas say? Did he do it? No. But what was the answer? My Lord and my God. So we know that God himself came down to earth from heaven and reconciled us. And we better stay in this reconciliation. We did not reconcile him, but he reconciled us. And he said, and he has made this great promise, what Brother read from the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. He's promising a day of rest for each and every one of us. Only if we believe, but those who do not believe, it shall be closed. You know, he labored 6 days. You know, we're kind of resting. The laboring people in this country are sort of resting from their labors today. But I wonder what kind of rest they are having. I'm pretty sure that quite a few have hangovers and headaches this morning from the enjoyment of the world. You know, but it's a wonderful thing that they considered a laboring man that he should be somewhat considered. And they declared this day as a labor day. But what are we doing? We're not laboring today, really. But we're resting on that labor who has labored us this rest that's prepared and it's ready for us. And the door is open, that here is my rest. You don't have to labor to get in, although it says in the Bible. To labor, what does labor mean in the Bible? That we had to stay in this faith. It's quite a battle, isn't it, at times? Right. Seems like it's quite a labor at times. It's not that easy, is it, Ike?
No stay in this faith. It's quite a labor at times because we have to battle against the world, against the devil, even our own flesh. But that is the reason why Apostle Paul says put on the whole armor of God. Now let's remember this. It seems like I'm hollering too much. I say, and sometimes the devil tells me that you're preaching too much. You're preaching too much of the law, you know. Too much of the teachings and instructions. But I cannot find in the Bible hardly anywhere the text where it doesn't touch about teachings and instructions. And these are healthy. The right teachings are healthy for us. Like Apostle Paul mentioned something like that. But let's remember once we leave now, when we leave this church, we're going to go back among the wolves. And it is the reason there's a reminder, and a very serious reminder for each and every day for us when we're not in church. But let's remember that building is not the church of God, but he has prepared a spiritual house. But another thing that we must remember, it's a privilege that we can still gather in a building like this. It's a privilege for us to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we leave this church, you know, the word of God is going with us. He said, those who believe upon my name, my Father and I shall dwell in your hearts. And we're always in the spiritual house where the Lord is the head of it, where Jesus Christ is the cornerstone in the spiritual house. And this is the reason the world cannot see it. They built these beautiful multi-million dollar churches and they worship that particular church. But they do not worship the true church. The believers only see it and believers are in it. You know, the Spirit of God is here now, but soon as the church is empty, there's no more Spirit of God. But it's with the believers in our hearts who keep on believing. Like it says here also in the sixth chapter, third chapter and in the sixth verse, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You know, there's no, you know, man has no, not even a place for a finger to put in this church. But it is a great thing that God, it's still allowed that we can gather under a roof. It took a lot of labor to make this church, but it's the will of God. So let's kind of honor or let's respect the privilege that we have, that we still have a chance to gather. That we don't have to gather in the woods or in the caves like they did hundreds of years ago. They did not care to gather where the government or the king knew where they gathered. They went after them right away. But he says, wherever two or three gather in my name, I shall be there. And I know he's here this morning. He's been here the last 3 days. We're all in that, you know, we're all in that guest house. We're all waiting. You know, sometimes it seems that we're just waiting for that train to come. And pretty soon it's going to toot. It's going to start blowing its whistle, you know, that we are ready. There are all kinds of tickets offered. I remember when Brother Harold said that there are all kinds of tickets on the roadside and the post. There are all kinds of them. But none were stamped with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one ticket. And we have received it. And we better have this ticket ready when the conductor asks for a ticket. He said, just looks. The word of God is the discerner of our hearts and thoughts. He knows what we are like. Like this one man when he entered into this guest house. The guest house, the way I believe, is where the children of God are. The spiritual church. And he has a right to come and enter here ever so often. And look, who has come here? Do they all wear their wedding gown? Are they ready to go to heaven with me? But he saw somebody there who was not wearing a wedding gown. He said, friend, how did you get in here? You know, these are the same people who have been with us. No, they've been with us, but the Bible says they never really were with us. It's not us that chases them out. But it's the word of God. They cannot stand the truth. And what is what Jesus said himself, those people who enter into this kingdom without the door or try to come in other way, they're thieves and they're robbers. And the command comes, take hold of it and throw in the outer darkness. They shall be gnashing and crying. So it's a terrible place. and shivering. Shivering from cold and crying from heat. They're hot and they're cold. But their brightness has grown too high. They cannot come back.
Well, let's ask a question. How many of them have come back who have left us?
Not very many. That's why it's very dangerous that we're to start looking for anything else to the left or to the right. There's death. There's the devil and those cockatrice eggs. On the right side is the self-righteous church, and the left side is the world. And there's a church, too, the church that preaches and that do as you please, but just believe. Yes, they're misinterpreting that just believe what Jesus said. Just believe in me. And when we believe in Christ, that's plenty. We don't need anything else but Jesus Christ and the works that he has done to us. So let's go back in this particular text that Brother read. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, I don't know if there's anybody, I hope you're all believers, but if there happens to be one yet that has not entered in, it's very important. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This is the worst thing. So many people have come to listen to the word of God, but they did not hear it. Their ears were not pierced open. Their eyes were not open. And neither was their tongue loosened. But they come and they listen, they knock their head. Yes, I heard sermons like something like that in the radio, in the TV. But they will not enter in. They're still outside and they're freezing and they're in heat and they're in cold. But it's so easy to enter in if you only give honor and glory to God and believe that I believe in you. I'm in such a contrite shape that I can't do anything. I'm complete bankrupt. I'm going to die. We're on the roadside. Yes, we were all on that roadside when this particular man left Jerusalem to Jericho. As soon as you leave the spiritual house and close that door behind, you're heading to Jericho, to hell. As soon as you leave the spiritual house, you know, the devils are already there, the thieves and the robbers, and they attack and they strip us and wound us and let us lay on the side road in the ditch somewhere, and they can die now. I have robbed them. There were two other ministers that went by, the old fashioned priest and the Levites. They just looked and had no compassion, because in the Old Testament, these self-righteous ministers, before them, you had to be real good, and you had to show your works how good you are. They had no compassion to a sinner. Not at all. But they're having to come somebody else, and he's still making that trip ever so often. Thank God he does. And this is Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan. He happened to come along. What did he see? A dying man who left ignorantly the goodness of God, thinking that there's something better. Here's a very serious warning. There is nothing better but where Jesus Christ is. Let's stay there. Let's stay in the spiritual house. There's nothing better. But if anybody strays away and closes that door behind, it's goodbye. It might be final. But ever so often, he still makes that trip. Now listen, is there anybody looking around? Any of these dying people looking for help yet? But if there's still somebody that's in contrition, begins to pray and begins to call for God to come and help me, he will at his time. And he will take us into his inn in his own wounds and put oil in our wounds and wine also. You'll be had to receive the oil of the love of God. The love of God had to be shown much first, how God loved us, that he came himself as a ransom and went into eternal hell in our place, that we don't have to go there. But the third day he was resurrected as a victorious over death and hell. So who can touch us? Who can be against us when Jesus is with us? No one. The door is open. The rest is still there. You're not still waiting. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. We know when children of Israel, when they're making this pilgrimage through the wilderness, there were so many that believed, but so many that did not. And they provoked God into anger. and he regretted that he ever created a man. He said, why did I ever even create this man? He's not faithful and he does not believe. And then he swore in his wrath. It's terrible to be under a wrath of God, you know. You know, it's like a living fire when it comes down, just burns you. It's terrible to be in the wrathful God. He said, those who do not believe me, they shall not enter into my rest. He labored 6 days, but the seventh day he rested from his labors, and he declared this as a holiday forever and ever for himself and for those who believe upon his name. This place is prepared, but he's so particular that we had to keep on hearing and believing that I'm the resurrection and life. And how many did he see us dead? Luther said that we were all dead like Lazarus, 4 days in that, and stinking in our sins already. This seems impossible that who could revive us anymore. There was no one, there was no man who was able to do it. But the Good Samaritan, yes. Lord Jesus Christ himself. It only took one word to wake Lazarus. Come forth, Lazarus. Come. And it is the word that we're going to hear to come forth the last days. The children who all slept in Christ Jesus, you know. I remember when somebody said that we're just like white roses under that white linen in heaven, waiting for the call that now wake up, now it's time to come forth. And even the dead will have to come forth first, the children of God. But none of us will be dead. We'll be alive in heaven. For unto them who are dead eternally. It's for the quick and the dead who are the quick. But the believers and the dead who are spiritually dead forever and ever. So once we are in Christ Jesus, he's the resurrection and life. This is what he has proclaimed to Martha, even to the whole world. It's been proclaimed. You are dead. If you hear my word and believe, thou shalt become alive. And now we are the children of God. We are alive. But he did not stop there, but he kept on preaching and said, now you are alive. Keep on hearing me and believe this, and you shall never die. Yes, and you stay alive forever and ever. Amen. But they tempted God so often in the wilderness. And he finally decided that I'm going to, you know, they had this temple, his holy temple in Jerusalem. It was valued very highly. And you know, they didn't allow any Gentiles there, but they had to become Jews first. They were baptized into Jewish religion. So there were a few here and there that Gentiles entered in, but they had to be baptized into Jewish religion. I don't exactly know what kind of ceremony it was. But when he sent his servant out, now go and get the ones who are worthy to come in here. And it was preached among the children of Israel first. But there were many. They all had excuses. All the Levites and the Pharisees, they all had too many excuses in the Jewish people. That I had to get married or I have a farm to take care of, other business to take care of. They all had excuses before God. But you know, there's no excuse before God at all. Oh no. But we had to accept it. So they went back and said, Lord, they have too many excuses. They don't want to enter here. They just want to show their own good works and their own good deeds. So he angered the Lord. He said, go out and call the good and the bad, the lame and the wicked and everybody. So they went and they called. But when they entered in, there was still a lot of room. They said, Lord, look, there's still a lot of room. He said, okay, now go out of the city of Jerusalem. Go out of this temple and call each and everyone, including the Gentiles. Call good and the bad, and there were thieves and there were robbers even. First of all, it was shown to a robber and thief on the cross, to whom the salvation belongs, to those only who believe. I know that doesn't make any difference what you were before. Even if you've been a robber and a thief and a murderer, but you've been in this ignorance and the foolishness, but now you have come into light, it shall be forgotten and forgiven, and you're washed clean. You know, this goes very much against man's brain, doesn't it? A man's conscience, even at times. How is it possible? But nothing is impossible before God. It's possible. He called the good and the bad. And when he said bad, he called me also.
All of us. None of us can say that, oh, I've been real good. I'd like to shake your hand. You know, because we've been good enough in this world, but we cannot boast it before God. Look, God, how good I am. And there are so many churches, exactly what they're doing right now. Bringing their own self-righteousness, which is nothing but dirt and filth before God. But when he sees that we're cleansed in his own blood, and we were poor, so poor that we had nothing to offer to God, so we had to offer the goodness of God back to him. He said, oh, these are my children, they're washed in my blood. And they shall inherit the reward which is promised for those who believe upon my name. So when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years was in the wilderness, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. This would be a terrible thing to hear, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, we hear this, that you shall not enter into my rest. I have looked in your works, and your works were evil. You were boasting with your lips, but what were the results? The fruit that you have is evil. It's not edible. A prophet saw two baskets of fruit there, two baskets of figs. And God asked him, what do you see, son of man? He said, I saw two baskets of figs. One fruit is edible, real good, but the one is not edible, it's bad. And he said, here are the children of Israel. They're in two different baskets, the rotten ones and the good ones. But he has also called us. That basket wasn't really too full, wasn't it? There was room for us yet. So he called us evil ones who had no hope in God at all. We were in hopelessness, but he even brought hope to us. That we have this living hope in God, and this hope shall lead us into victory, eternal victory and glory. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, our unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, sometimes this pricks me. You had such a wonderful service here last night, too. And I thought to myself, oh, this is foolishness to bring this kind of a sermon before them. But, you know, we're all going back to wolves again. You know, we'll be surrounded by them. Anyone comes dares to come here behind the pulpit, too. He's not scared. But the only way we can sock him is with the word of God. Then he gets stunned, you know, for a while. He'll leave us alone for a season, you know, it says in the Bible. He'll leave us alone for a season. But that season can be mighty short when you're on that road, you know. Oh, boy, I'm afraid if I get hit, what's going to happen? I'm going to die, you know. But if we're prepared to go to heaven, well, there's no harm, only physical part. Yes, you know, your mother was called all the way like that. I heard you were rejoicing there. I know that's lucky, Miss Stephen. But you know, if you could speak to you, she would say, that was such beautiful place here. And I'm waiting when you will be coming here. I've never come down there anymore. You're so selfish. And this selfishness is so glorious that we hang on to your selfishness, that nothing else is so important. But the word of God, the glory of God, where one day we all shall enter. And we'll never want to come back, do we? No, no. Anybody's crazy who wants to come back here.
Oh, boy.
They call us crazy because we believe before the world we are crazy and nothing but dung and filth. But to God we go to him as a sweet savor in his nostril. These are my children, they're my souls. And one day I'm going to gather them all and bring them home. Yet a little while, but when I come quickly. He will not tarry. You'll call us for one at a time, two at a time. But in the last day, we'll all be going in the clouds with Jesus Christ to our eternal home forever and ever. Never to return again in this miserable world. Why? Because it will be burned. There'll be nothing left here. Then they preach, they're trying to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And the Bible says it's going to be burned. And those who did not believe will be in hell forever and ever.
but those who believe upon his name will be in heaven forever and ever, and no end to it.
Kind of hard for a man to believe this, but we have to trust the word of God and believe it and honor it.
Luther says honor is even higher than love, you know.
Well, yeah, sometimes we find that pretty poor love to break God, don't we? But when we honor it, you know, he honors us so much that he gives his eternal rest to us.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
You know that sin comes so many different ways, and the devil has, his bag is full of them.
He tries us one way or the other. He doesn't always come the same way. It's the same devil, though.
We all know it.
But he uses different tricks, and he comes in such a meek person. Even as a poor believer, sometimes he appears.
And he begins to talk to us, oh, yes.
That there's something else, too. You know, I had this experience. They came to our church, somewhat relatives to me, too, even. There in Nikani, some years ago.
And they said, oh, yes, they enjoyed the service. They said, now when we came to your church, you come to our church, too. No, it's good.
You know, they kind of compromise. Why don't you visit us in our church also? I don't mind visiting them in their house, but their church, I don't care to go. You know, it's evil. No matter how good and how they cry, how they even say, how they enjoy the word of God. But if they begin, these are the sideways, you know, they begin to come from the side and they speak to you so tenderly and so kindly that, oh, there's something else too, that this church, your church is not the only one, but there's other church. Come here. Come with me.
This is the way the devil says when he was, oh, yes, he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness.
Come with me, I'll show you what I'll give you. Took him on the pinnacle of the temple. They walked there, like Luther says. There were steps. He said, I'll give you to look. This is what I'll give to you. But he said, no, show me yourself what you are. If you're the Son of God, jump down from the temple. And he keeps on telling us yet today to jump down from this. He's going to take care of you. I heard such foolishness talk who were supposed to be believers some years ago. If you jump from the roof, oh, God will take hold of us.
Sure, but Luther says to come down the same way you went up. Use the ladder.
It's a lot easier. You're not, it says in the Bible, do not tempt your God. He's very particular about that. Do not tempt me. You can't be dangerous. He told Jesus, now it seems to me that he tried him, that he would commit suicide, even jump down now. He was like a human being there, that jumped down, that angels of the Lord will come and get hold of you. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone, no.
But Jesus always had this answer, that
thou shalt not tempt thy God. We don't have that right. And so it has come to me so important when he told the devil also when he was tempting him with this stone, and now change this stone and eat. You know, it has come very important to me that it's not, you are not to live from this daily bread, from bread alone, but every word which proceeded from the mouth of God, it's still proceeding, it's still coming. We had to accept when John was in the Isle of Patmos, and the angel of the Lord had that book in his hand. And a voice came from heaven that, no, now go there, John. Take that book from his hand and eat it. It shall taste like honey in your mouth, but will be bitter in your stomach. And when he ate it, exactly what happened, it was bitter. It was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach. The word of God is so sweet when you hear it first, that your sins are forgiven, that forgotten, be of good cheer, and they are not remembered anymore. You know, that's wonderful news to hear for a sinner that, oh, am I forgiven? That one out, I'm a child of God. But you know, there's that bitterness afterward that comes. Those trials and tribulations. And we face them every day, more or less. But let's keep thinking of the sweetness that we have to accept the word of God inward and outward. There are teachings and instructions for outward and inside living also.
How do we become a child of God?
By faith in Jesus Christ. How do we stay in this? That just shall live by faith.
And there are a lot of teachings and instructions in the Bible, but they were written in the love of God, that we will not stray away to the left, nor to the right.
Well, let's follow that light that God has given to us. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You know there's warnings, but there's always a promise. Why it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Let's not provoke him into anger again. No. Let's stay in this faith. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he freed 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? He's not grievous with us because we're a believer, a child of God, a children of God. But those who do not believe and those who are strayed away, he's grievous, and the warnings are very serious. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear. You know, that sounds terrible. Now, let us fear. But you know, we have this holy fear. What kind of fear? That we don't have to fear God, that now I'm going to go to hell, but we don't dare to quit believing, that we'll hang on to you. I'm not there to let you go. It's a kind of fear. I'm a believer. Because I fear that hell so terribly. I don't want to call there anybody who says, oh, it's warm there. Oh, they don't know what their fear of hell is. It's hot and it's cold. It's a hell of a place to go into. I hate to say it, but it is. They say so often. You know, when you work and travels, even talk to these unbelievers, every other word sometimes is hell, but they don't realize what that hell is like. When they get there, it's going to be hot and it's going to be cold. Someday you're going to shiver, and then all of a sudden you'll be in the level of heat and you cannot stand it. Then again, such coldness that you can't stand that either. And this will last forever and ever. And let some more added to it. And the worms will be there also, and they shall never die. Does anybody want to go there? I don't think so. But in their foolishness, in their infidelity, they know they shall not enter in the kingdom of God. So they try to smooth it out, and they try to make it more beautiful, just a warm place. Only nice place we have is heaven. It's always comfortable. You know, it's not too hot or it's not too cold. It's always beautiful there. But with whom was he, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. How far did I have? Did I read the text here?
I read this, but you read this one. Did I?
Well, you have a preacher here, I'm telling you. For which we have believed to enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in certain place of the seventh day of his wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So this is the labor day, rest that we have, which is promised for us forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when we go home, let's remember that we have the full armor of God, that we are prepared to meet those wolves, you know, and they are surrounding us. And whenever they attack us, let's use the word of God. It's that Jesus left us examples. You're not to live by bread alone, but every word which proceeded from the mouth of God. Let's really keep on believing that. Let's honor and glorify God instead of the world. And there are no other gods. There are those who don't believe, but they're dead gods. That's why they say that God is dead. Yes, their God is dead, but our God is alive forever. So one day we are going to see this victory. And when you go home, try carefully also. You know, it's still my hope and wish that you don't see each other yet. But if our time comes, you know, where we go, you know, if all of a sudden we hear somebody has gone home through by a car accident, might be me, might be somebody else, who knows, but that we're prepared and ready to go to our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. I took too much of your time.
No, like you said, we've got all day.
Well, you have all day. Okay, we'll get a couple of hours. Go
you know, no poor preacher here. He takes anything, you know. He's not a good minister. Don't ever call me a minister. I'm not. When you're a minister, you're very particular what you read and what you take. And it's written down that you're so careful about it, you don't go anywhere else but right there, and then it's got to be according to the letter. Apostle Paul warns about that. They're not according to the letter, but in the power of God, in the power of the Spirit.
You can't get away from it.
Hey, that's your high priest.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, he has a part of in finished now. The fourth one. The fourth chapter from the Epistle to Hebrews. This is in finished. So if you want to read the fourth chapter when you go home, well, fine. Read some more, too.
What?
Nin veljat kamesis et de meioskus hanem lepons of tule, tulemis and lupas tahilje.